It's a little spotty, Bruce.
There you go.
So here we are. Here we are on session two of our class on forgiveness. And we're going to focus on the difference between law and grace because, as we know, and as we'll see clearly in this next section, many of the things written in the Old Testament law do not apply to us today. So yet there are people who feel they do and then get worried about whether God will forgive them for not following the Old Testament law. But since it doesn't apply to us, it'd be like worrying about some tax law that existed under the Roman government in Italy 2,000 years ago and we're being worried that we don't follow it. We have enough problem with our own tax laws, as is Congress this week. But that's another story we'll stay out of. It'll be a great session. So we'll start here in Romans chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Thank you. I told you I'd get the notes wrong. We waited until the second session for me to do it. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And we could spend days just comparing Old Testament records to what's written in the church epistles to us. We don't have days, though, but we'll spend one day. And about half of today will be on this topic. Deuteronomy 6, verse 25. And it shall be our righteousness. We'll be righteous if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us. Now, to be righteous is to be right with God, to have no conflict between you and God, no sense of sin or inferiority, just you're right with God. And the way we get right with God in that administration, under the law, before Jesus Christ, would have been to observe to do all these commandments. In other words, carry out the entire Old Testament law, and you're righteous. But nobody but Jesus Christ ever was able to fulfill the law and completely carry it out. Because it says all men sin and fall short of the glory of God. So, in other words, you couldn't obtain righteousness that way. It wasn't possible. Now, Romans chapter 3, I know we get to Romans. We get to the age of grace. Romans 3. So just go Roman through your Bible to get to chapter 3. Oh, you just had to pop it on the app there. That's easier. Romans 3. And verse 20. Therefore, Romans 3:20, by the deeds of the law, by carrying out what's written in the law, there shall no flesh be justified or made righteous in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So nobody is going to be made righteous in God's sight by carrying out the law, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. It just shows us where we have shortcomings, and everybody does. But now, verse 21, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested or made evident, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. So now we have the righteousness of God without the law. That's interesting. And what is this? Verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. Talking about in the context between Jew and Gentile, no difference, because that was a huge difference in the first century church. There were those from the Judean background that had grown up with the Old Testament law, and there were those from a Gentile or pagan background which hadn't. But once you're born again, it makes no difference. You know, it's like occasionally I don't think I've ever once paid for a first class ticket on an airplane, but occasionally through traveling a lot, I get a free upgrade. And I notice when you're sitting in first class, it doesn't matter how you got your ticket. They bring you lots of free drinks and really good food and very good service and offer to hang up your coat and do all kinds of stuff they don't pay to do in coach. And the first couple times it happened, I got in for free. I thought, wow, I'm sitting here for free. These guys like paid a boatload of money for their seats. Are they going to get better treatment? Nope. If you're in first class, you're in first class. And you're going to get the same fancy treatment, whether you got there for free or paid way too much money for the seat. And sort of like that with the new birth, whether you grew up like Paul did as a Hebrew of the Hebrews and, you know, strictly tried to follow the law, or whether you came out of some pagan background where you used to, you know, I don't know what you did, worship goats or something, and then all of a sudden you're born again. It doesn't matter how you got there. You're born again. So it makes it clear that you're not going to get righteous by following the law. But now there's a new kinds of righteousness. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ believed God and carried out his will and gave his life for us. So through Jesus Christ believing, we have the righteousness of God. And then it says in the middle of verse 22, this is unto all and upon all them that believe. Anybody that believes and gets born again has the same righteousness. There's no difference. No difference between Jew and Gentile. Not at all. For all have sinned, verse 23, and come short of the glory of God. And that's why there's no difference. You can come from a Judean background or a Gentile background. Makes no difference. Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Nobody could earn it. And so we have it because Jesus Christ paid for it. Maybe another way to look at it is you and all your friends get invited to go on some massive yacht that some gazillionaire owns. And neither you nor your friends could afford to buy the gazillionaire's boat or even afford to buy a ticket on it. But you're all on the boat. And so it doesn't matter if one guy's a little fancier, a little richer than the other guy, because nobody could afford to get on there. And the fact that we're all on there, we're all... Literally, we're all in the same boat because we all got in for free. And that's the way it is with our new birth. We all men sin and fall short of the glory of God. And there's no other way to get righteousness from God except through the Lord Jesus Christ. So verse 22 again, we have the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 25, being justified freely. To be justified is to be made righteous, to be made right with God. As one person says, it's just as if I'd never sinned, because I'm right with God. I've been forgiven, and I'm justified. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth, verse 25, to be a propitiation or a payment through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance, the patience of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So our righteousness is completely by the grace of God. It's not through our works. It's by the grace of God. Let's go to Romans 1. We'll read some more here. Romans 1, verse 7. Just flip back a page. Romans 1, 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, grace is when God gives us things we haven't deserved. I think of a baby. Babies really don't pay their share of the rent. They don't cut the grass. But we feed them and take care of them anyway because we love them. That's sort of the way grace is. We don't deserve a lot of what we have that God's provided, but he does it because he loves us, and because Jesus Christ paid the price for it. We get it by his divine favor. That's grace. So again, Romans 1, 7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 4. Verse 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. So let's say you get an invitation from the gazillionaire to go on his fancy boat. So you're there by grace. He just decided to be nice to you. But then somebody else you know worked as a deckhand on that boat for a whole year just to earn the right to go on that one cruise you're going on. So his is of debt. He worked it and he earned his passage to sit up on the deck with the other guests for the weekend cruise. Whereas you got yours by grace. So here we are, Romans 4, verse 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith, his believing, is counted for righteousness. He simply believes that Jesus Christ paid the price for his sins, and he's right with God by believing. Wild stuff. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by what? By faith, by believing. The reason the way we're justified, the way we're made righteous, is by believing in what Jesus Christ did for us. Therefore, being justified, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's a radical thing to realize. You have peace with God. But I did this, I did that, and I had this bad thought, and I did this stupid thing, and somebody's mad at me. You have peace with God. But I don't read the Bible enough, and I don't pray enough, and I don't blah, 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 blah. You have peace with God. It doesn't say you have peace with God when you finally get perfect, which you never will, and I won't either. It doesn't say you have peace with God on a day when, you know, things are really going your way. No, you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Did Jesus Christ fulfill his ministry? Yes. Did he give his life for us? Yes. Did God raise him from the dead? Yes. Did we get born again and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? Yes. Therefore, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also, verse 2, we have access by faith, by believing, into this what? Grace wherein we stand. Doesn't say we stand in law. Doesn't say we stand in condemnation. This grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in hope, looking forward to God's glory being revealed when Jesus Christ returns. So it's a great life. Jesus Christ has paid the price for our righteousness. We have peace with God. We have access into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Great time to live. Romans 6, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under what? Grace. Sin won't have dominion over you. It's not going to control you. You're not going to be controlled by that because you have something greater. You're not under law, but you're under grace. The law does not apply to us. Romans 11. Romans 11, verse 5. So let's go back a little bit to the beginning of chapter 11, verse 1. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people whom he foreknew. What, or knew ye not what the scripture saith of Elijah? How he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men that have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. That's when Elijah was having a real tough time with the Baal worshippers. Even so, verse 5, at this present time there's also a remnant according to the election of grace. Verse 6, and if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then there's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. You see, if I'm on that boat with the gazillionaire and I got invited for free, then it's not by works. But if the other guy is there working for a year to get that free weekend, it's not by grace. It's one or the other. You either try to earn it or you get it for free. Well, our salvation, our eternal life, our righteousness, we get for free because Jesus Christ gave his life for us. Now, it's amazing how many Christian groups will tell you you're saved by grace and then give you a list of rules you have to follow in order to earn your salvation. I've seen a lot of groups do that. Now, there are things that are good for us to do if we want to live the Word and see God's blessing in our lives, but not to earn our salvation. Our salvation has been paid for. We're completely righteous by the grace of God. By the grace of God. Let's read that again, verse 6. If by grace, it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Romans 16 and verse 24. Here we go. Romans 16 and verse 24. One of the final verses summing up the epistle to the Romans, Romans 16, 24. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, not the condemnation, not the wrath. You know, when was the last time you went to fellowship and somebody had a word of prophecy and said, you're all goofed up. Get out of here. I don't want to talk to you. I'm not going to forgive you. I don't love you. And you're a bum. Not what you tend to hear in manifestations. God says, I love you. I'll be there to help you. Come to me at any time. That's the kind of thing you hear. Because Jesus Christ paid for our salvation. And we stand before God in his grace, his divine favor. So the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And verse 3. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? God's divine favor and great peace. And that's the way we ought to live. Knowing that by the grace of God, we're righteous. God listens to us. He answers our prayers. And so we have great peace. You know, that's where the peace comes from in your life. It's from trusting God. It says here in, I'm wearing my jacket, Isaiah 26:3. Is that that side or this side? One of my sides. Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Keep your mind on God. You'll have peace. That's all you need to do. Keep your mind on yourself and your shortcomings. You'll be sort of miserable. Keep your mind on other people. You'll just be distracted because what they're doing really doesn't matter that much in your life. But you keep your eyes on God, and now you have great peace. You're radiant because you just know God's going to come through for you. And that's where we want to keep our focus. Awesome stuff. Absolutely awesome stuff. So 1 Corinthians 1, 3 again. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. See, the thing that's so great about these things is these things are available all the time in our lives. there are some days that are sunny. There's some days that are warm, or some days that are cold. Sometimes you drive through D.C. and you zip right through. Other times you sit in traffic for an hour. We all have things like this in our lives. One day they go one way, one day they go the other way. But the grace of God is always there. And you can have peace in your life every day by simply focusing on God and His love and faithfulness. So isn't that amazing? Let's look at that again, verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ. That's where we have grace. Now look at 1 Corinthians 15. And this is talking about the Apostle Paul, who was one of those guys who just accomplishes more. We all know people like that. They just seem to accomplish everything. Well, Paul was one of them. Amazing what he accomplished in his life. And here in 1 Corinthians 15:10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. It wasn't wasted. God showed me great favor. He forgave me, even though I went around to fellowships and had Christians thrown into jail and executed and did all these nasty things. God still showed great grace, and it wasn't a waste. It wasn't a vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. So I went out and used what God gave me and did a lot to help people. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. He realized he couldn't have done anything without the grace of God. So when you run into Christians who want to say they're better than you because they follow the law more, and if you haven't met those people yet, you will. There's a lot of them. And we love them and we pray for them, but they're a pain in the patunga because they just want to tell you how they're better than you are and how you're goofed up when the scripture says, all men sin and fall short of the glory of God. You're not perfect and I'm not either, so why, let's quit pretending. It's just, you may think you're not quite as imperfect as I am, but what's the point? What's it say? It talks in, I think it's in 1st or 2nd Corinthians at the beginning, it says the weakness of God is stronger than men. You know, even when God has a bad day, he's still a lot stronger than everybody else. So like, as far as strength and wisdom, God's like up here, and we being human and made of dust, we're like here. Doesn't mean we're useless, because God's given us so much. But let's say God's up here and he has a really bad day, which doesn't really, but let's say he had a bad day. He'd go from being way up here to being here. And here I am as a person. I'm normal here. I have this super day and I'm just perfect, do everything right. I go from here to here. And then I have a super day and then you're having a bad day, so instead of being here, you're here. And I want to say I'm so much better than you because I'm here when you're here. And then God's way up here. And the point is, God's so much greater than any of us. Why do I want to say I'm a little better than you? Or why do you want to say you're a little better than me? That's silly. Because it's by the grace of God that we are what we are.
The foolishness of God is wiser than any man.
That's right. That's in that same section. Thank you. Thank you. Absolutely right, Peter. So, Paul says, verse 10, by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. He realized it was all by the grace of God. Even though he worked his tail off and did so much to help people, he couldn't have done it without God's favor. It wasn't him being perfect. It was God's favor that helped him along the way. And he knew that. Okay. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Okay, let's go on to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. And verse 3. Galatians 1:3. Galatians 1:3. Grace be to you and peace There we have that, grace and peace. Sometimes it throws mercy in too. Some verses have grace, mercy, and peace. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. He didn't have any sins. He gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. We're still in the present evil world. And that's why I get a kick out of people when they get mad that things are going so badly in society. Everything's going down the tubes. Well, that's been going on since when? Genesis chapter 3 or something? It's just we have this year's version of it. Next year it'll be next year's version. 10 years from now it'll be 10 years from now version. There's always something going on in the world that's negative and evil. But the point is, he gave himself for our sins, verse 4, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So he starts with grace and peace, and he gave himself for our sins. That's why we are righteous, because he gave himself, he gave his perfect blood for our sins. Awesome, awesome stuff. Galatians 2 and verse 21. Galatians 2:21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So if somebody wants to come around and say, oh yeah, yeah, I know you're righteous, you're righteous, you're righteous, but if you really want to be cool, you got to be part of my group and do things our way and think what I think is important and quit doing these other things that you want to do that I think aren't important and just focus on what I say. In other words, put me under a version of the law by having to do things your way. Well, then he's frustrating the grace of God because he's not accepting that his righteousness came through the work of Jesus Christ. He's basically telling you how to earn your own righteousness by doing things the way their group does it. Well, it says, I don't frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, or by the works of man in any way, then Christ is dead in vain. Our righteousness completely was paid for by Jesus Christ. That's the only reason we're righteous. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2. Ephesians 1, verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. There we are again. And then look at verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. I think we read this before the break. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches again of what? His grace. Not according to our works. Not according to me being publicly accepted in the society or in the fellowship. Not according to any of the measures that people might put on other people. We are righteous according to his grace. Let's read that again. Verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, which is the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Awesome stuff. Now, chapter 2, this is one of the major sections we read about when we're talking about the grace of God. Ephesians 2, verse 5. Let's go back to verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. What kind of love? Great love. Wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together, or made us alive together with Christ. By grace you're saved. Very clear there. Even when we were dead in sins, so he didn't wait till we were perfect. He didn't only go for people that thought they were following the whole law. No, we were dead in sins. He's made us alive together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. We're seated on the right hand of God, as far as God's concerned. We'll physically be there after the Lord returns, but now we're there in God's mind already. Verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. He's not just going to show us a little bit of grace, a little bit of divine favor. He's going to show us the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And this is in the ages to come and the administrations to follow. We're now in the administration of the grace of God. This is followed by what we call the appearing or revelation administration. When all that stuff in the book of Revelation happens, we meet the Lord in the air, the Lord comes down on the earth, the beast gets thrown in the pit and the Antichrist gets thrown in the pit, and there's the great throne judgment, and the dead arise, and people go on to eternal life, and the second death, and all that stuff happens. And then you end up with the final paradise administration, where there's a new heaven, new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. In the meantime, our bodies have been changed, so they're immortal and incorruptible. And during all those future ages, God's going to show exceeding kindness to us. That's pretty good. I think when God says exceeding kindness, he's going to do well. And sometimes you go somewhere where there's a little perk, if you get a bonus or an upgrade or something, and you go, oh, there's a cool perk. I got a free bottle of water. Or they gave me half off on my hamburger meat. Or there's some little cool thing, and you go, oh, that's neat. I got a special. Or you go to McDonald's and they're 2 for 1, and you go, oh, cool. There's all kinds of fun little perks we see in life, and they're great. But what about the exceeding riches of God? Well, let's read that again here in Ephesians 2, verse 7. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. He's going to have a lot of grace. For by grace you're saved through faith, through believing, and that not of yourselves. It is what? The gift of God. See, it makes it very, very clear here, what we've been reading in other verses, that our salvation is a gift from God, paid for by Jesus Christ. We're coming up to Christmas. People are going to give presents and get presents. Peter and Dee Dee gave me a very nice little St. Louis globe last night, which I have upstairs on my table and looking at. That was a gift. That was a gift. It was a very kind gift. They gave it out of love. They didn't give me a bill with it. I didn't have to pay for it. It wouldn't have been much of a gift if they had, but they didn't. It was a gift. Well, our salvation is a gift. Somebody had to pay for that globe, just not me. Well, somebody had to pay for our salvation, just not us. Jesus Christ paid for it. By grace you're saved through believing, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Now I love this verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. If it were of works, we could boast. I'm more saved than you are, Mary Rose, because I read Ephesians twice yesterday. You only read it once last month. Or Brian could say, I'm more saved than you are, Dee Dee, because I cut down a tree. And God said, if I cut down the tree, I get more brownie points. And, we could go nuts, And Dee Dee could say, no, you're not saved, because you destroyed that poor tree. And that tree deserves to live, so I'm better, more saved than you are. And we can get in this big fight about who's more saved by works, and it can go on and on. And I know this sounds ridiculous, but I've heard people have almost identical conversations in my life. Nope, it's not a works, lest any man should boast. Jesus Christ paid for our salvation. We're all saved just as much. We all have the same measure of Holy Spirit. We all have the same promise and hope of Christ's return. We all have the same access to God through Jesus Christ. He doesn't listen to me more than you or you more than me. He's just there to listen to any of us that call on him in the name of Jesus Christ. Wow, great stuff we got. Let's read that again. Verse 4 of Ephesians 2. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath made us alive together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So now that we are born again, there's a lot of cool stuff we can do to help others, but not to earn our salvation. It's a gift. It's already been paid for. And then one to wrap up here, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2. If you've heard of the dispensation or the administration of the what? Grace of God, which has given me to you word. We live in an administration of the grace of God. There was the original patriarch administration with, you know, Abraham and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then under Moses came the administration of the law, and that was followed on with sort of a subset of that, the administration of the Christ administration, where Jesus Christ carried out the law and taught further, and then after he completed his ministry, and the day of Pentecost came, we came into the administration of the grace of God, also called the church administration. And that will continue until Jesus Christ returns. Then we get into the appearing or revelation administration. Ends with the great white throne judgment and the new heaven and earth being formed wherein dwelleth righteousness. That final paradise or glory administration will go on forever. And so in the ages to come, God's going to show great kindness towards us. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love, your kindness today, your kindness in the future, your promises that we can believe today to walk in great victory and deliverance, and your promises of doing even more for us in the ages to come. Thank you for that, for this great home, these wonderful saints, and that these truths in your word can simply sink into our hearts more and more this weekend, so that as we drive home after we're all done, we just have huge confidence in your ability to take care of us, love us, and provide for us in every way. Thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Mm-hmm.